Lord, we ask, reach in this situation, help, heal, raise up, strengthen, God, and wisdom in dealing with the situation, God. We thank you that we can come to you and cry out on your behalf, on his behalf unto you. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, Jesus, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, and your truth. How wonderful it is to know you and to serve you, God. Find your strength and your help. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to let you know that this will not be normal. I will not normally do both sessions, but this morning, because it was the first session and because I would never ask others to do what I'm not willing to do myself, I realized that I had to prepare for speaking twice this morning, but that's okay. And I hope you'll indulge me. I will say this: you can look forward to the next multiple weeks during this particular session, the Sunday morning session. You will not be hearing from me. You'll be hearing from other ministers here in the church. Next week, Brother Bill Kellum, and the following, Brother Tom Kreger, and the following week, Brother Wayne Kellum, and then the following week, Brother Al Fredrickson, and then they're going to be on a rotation, and where they're going to be teaching these Sunday morning lessons, and then myself and others will be preaching during the second session. So I hope that you will get out of it, and you will experience a great teaching through the church. And so Luke chapter 12, I've been reading one verse of scripture in verse number 15. And he said unto them, "Heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Take heed and beware of covetousness, for the man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. The subject matter for the teaching this morning, the lesson, it's from material from headquarters. The series is entitled God's Word for Today's World. And the subject this morning is simply the purpose of life. What God's Word is for today about the purpose of life. You may be seated. God has given us the gift of life. It is a wonderful experience. And in Jesus Christ, we learn to appreciate life's challenges, life's purpose, and life's potential. When we think about life, it is understood that life comes with no guarantees. The location of our birth, who our parents are, what physical and mental attributes we possess, these all seem to be matters of chance. It's just we're a product of some things that are beyond our control. We don't control who we were born to, the lifestyle that we had growing up, if you will, who our parents were, whether they served God or they didn't serve God. And sometimes life brings generous gain, and other times life brings heavy loss. There's the ups, there's the downs. Some lives we may look at and they may seem to be tremendously blessed with love and kindness and all the things that one would consider bountiful and good. And then we see other lives that seem to be scarred and marked with tragedy and situation and circumstance, and see bitterness and hatred. But we need to understand that through all of this, through the ups and the downs, through life's challenges, and through those things you experience, even those things that are simply by chance, we need to understand that God is there through it all. That God is there to guide us through life's challenges. That God is there to help us. And then we also need to understand that an individual is not truly complete. They are not complete in who they are. They are not complete in their understanding of life. They are not complete in being able to navigate the challenges and situations of life without God. Without God in their life. We understand. And Paul, writing the church at Colossae, he said, "Beware," Colossae 2, 8 through 10, "beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power." Our completeness in life, understanding life and all that it holds, we can only do so by having a walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. let's look on a little bit further. Life is wonderful. Life is a wonderful gift. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We must make no mistake about it. Life is God-given. It is a precious God-breathed gift. To be able to breathe, to be able to live, is precious. Life is precious. We believe that life in all forms is precious. We believe that life in the womb of a woman is precious. We believe that God granted that life, that God gave possible that the conception would take place. And so we believe, as David said in Psalm 139:14, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Life is precious. It is wonderful. It is miraculous. And we, as individuals, should reverence life. We should hold life in very high regard. Life is precious. But this life also holds some mystery. How many, I know we've posed the questions many times, how many have sat and looked at a starry night and just wondered what the purpose is? Wondered why we are here. Why there are trillions of stars and there are other galaxies and all these things that we come to know via science and other ways. And so we contemplate, why are we here? This mystery of life. We are not alone. Psalms, the writer of Psalms 8:4 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" In other words, the writer is contemplating, What is man that thou art mindful of him? When I consider the heavens, the works of thy hands, the sun, the moon, the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What's our place that you would come and that you would visit us? Even today, with all of the technological advances, with all the scientists and the understanding that we have, mankind has yet to fully comprehend the mystery of life. They still do not know. Even from an anatomical sense, they do not understand how that in the womb of a woman, when they unite and then they begin to divide trillions of times, they do not understand how that some cells take on skin cells and some cells take on the bone cell. And some, they don't understand how all of that happens. We know that it does. We can see it, and science has enabled us to observe it. But even in its observance, we still do not fully understand it. David was not the first one to ponder about God and his relationship to mankind. He was not the first one, I dare say, that looked into the heavens and saw the sun and the moon and the stars and thought, "What's the purpose? Why am I here?" But let's understand this. Though we may not understand it all, and though there may be some things we observe and we can readily see, but we can't readily comprehend and understand, we need to understand this, that life has a purpose. Life has a purpose. And I believe that God has placed a specific person and unique value on every facet of his creation. God created you the way he created you for a reason. You are not here by chance. You are not here just out of some cosmological event that took place, and by chance you are here today listening to me teach. That is not the way it works. God, I believe, has a specific person and places a unique value on every facet of creation. I believe that humans were created for the highest purpose. I believe that we are special, that we are different from the animal kingdom. That we are something special in all of creation. That we are separate and we are set apart. And my life and its value is worth more than any other creation save other human beings. Amen? Think about this. Think about the beginning. Think about Adam's earliest memories. Walking with God in the garden in the cool of the day. Him and his wife, we understand Genesis 3:8, that there was a personal and private fellowship in God and man. There was a relationship. In this relationship, this relationship with God is still valuable. It makes life worth living. It brings value to my life. It brings meaning to my life as the creation of relationship with the Creator. So, can we think of it in this way? It is God's will that we know Him in a redemptive relationship. That we know Him in a way that no other facet of creation can know Him. To experience Him as no other facet of creation can experience Him. That we have a relationship with God. It is only through that life lived with God that we truly understand the purpose of life. It is only through a relationship with our Creator that we as the creation can truly understand why we were created. Say that again. It's only through that relationship as creation to our Creator that we understand why we were created. That's the only way. Oh yes, we can live life. Oh yes, we can live and we can breathe and we can have the faculties of life, if you will. But to truly live in the understanding of what life is and how we are involved in God's will and His way only comes through a relationship with Him. See, I believe that this abundant life the Scripture talks about, this life that is much more than just mere human existence, this life that is lived in a walk in relationship with God is the highest. The highest of all human achievement and endeavor. To have a walk in relationship with God is so much more. That's why it said, listen, we need to understand that life is so much more than those things that we possess. That a man's life or a woman's life, a human's life is so much more than what I can say I have attached to me materially. And the highest of all human achievement, if you will, is a walk in relationship with God. Because as even Einstein would denote in some of his writings, as he studied and was a phenomenal scientific mind, he said, I've come to the understanding that man is much more spiritual than he is physical or natural. And so I believe, while we can without doubt live a human existence and live a life in the definition of what we consider life to be without relationship and communion with our Creator, it is not the life God intended for us to live. It is not the life that He created us for. The life that He created us for is to be lived with Him. You say, well, it may be true, Pastor, but sometimes life is tough. That's true. Sometimes life brings adversity. It might be said that the only thing certain in life is, in fact, uncertainty. The only thing that we can readily accept is the sense that something will always be changing. There will always be change, events and circumstances that test the courage and our patience and even our faith in our relationship with God. They will come. Life is full of trouble. Life has big surprises. The smooth roads end up, as we travel, we find there's potholes. The ways do become rough. There are things that happen. Bad things do happen to good people. There are struggles. This life is tough. But a walk in relationship with God gives us that which we need to endure it. To walk that road even though it gets rough. To sing in the midst of those dire circumstances. To still smile when all we feel like doing is frowning. To still have a walk in relationship with God. A peace that passes all understanding. Something that goes beyond our present circumstances. Something that is eternal, that is spiritual. Walk in relationship with God that propels us past our own little individual problems. Into a life that we recognize that even with its challenges and even with its obstacles and even with its ways that are rough, that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can't. Even when life is troublesome, even when I got to deal with these situations, even when these circumstances are adverse, even when I'm in trouble, even when the way is rough, I can still do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That walk in relationship with my Creator is so important because it helps me as creation to navigate. It helps me in this life when those adverse situations arise and when circumstances come my way. It helps me to navigate those challenges. It helps me. And so I often wonder, how do people make it without God? Say, well, your religion is a crutch. Well, if that's the case, I can't walk without it. Because I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. I can't do it. I don't see any value. Understand this. I don't see any value in life outside of serving God. I don't see any value in existence unless my existence is in communion with the one for whom I exist. Life is that meaningful. Life has that much purpose. And yes, there are troubles. And yes, there are struggles. But sometimes it's God's will that we go through those things. Sometimes it's God's will that we approach those tribulations and we approach those trials. Why? So that we learn to trust Him. So that we learn this life is something I can't live on my own. This life is something that I have to lean upon Him. I have to say, Lord, I need You. I need You. Every hour I need You. Yes, Philippians 4:13, it assures us that we can, with Christ's help, we can overcome the temptations, the obstacles, the struggles, the situations, the circumstances. And when it is God's will that I have to live through a difficult valley experience, this one thing I can rest assured of. He's there with me. He's there with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what valley I'm walking through, it may even be the valley of the shadow of death, for Thou art with me. I know You're right here by my side. Even though the circumstances are dire, and even though this life that I'm living right now is tough, I have the One who has overcome the world with me. I have the One who has overcome it all walking beside me. And so I can endure and I can go forward. Yes, in this life there will be problems. Any person who has lived for the Lord any length of time has experienced problems. Pain, suffering, disappointment. And sometimes in our humanity we find it hard to grasp why God has allowed this to happen. It's my life led me here. Why am I dealing with this, and why am I going through this, and why am I struggling in this situation? But we also, we also need to understand that God desires that we do not despair. That we truly look to Him. And we truly understand that problems, situations, they are not the exception. They are often the norm. Might I remind you? The majority of Paul's converts in the New Testament, the churches which he established it and he shepherded, they lived under constant threat of imprisonment, some even death. They chose to follow this way that many called heresy. They chose to follow as Paul would come to the town. And many of us know, you read in the Bible and you will find all the things that Paul went through himself. He says all these situations, all these problems, the stonings, the beatings, the shipwrecks, all these things, this hunger, all these things that I experience, I count them all loss. Isn't that, doesn't really, when I look at all those things in the grand scheme of this life, that I am living for God, and the award that awaits me on the other side, this life that I live, all those problems and all those situations, you know, I can live them. I can make it through. I can come through on the other side. And we need to be reminded, the church will not fail. The church will not fail. And if God is with us, I know we say it and we clap and we shout, if God be for us, who can be against us? And rightfully so. But we need to understand, He doesn't lose. He is the victor. And as long as I'm walking in relationship with Him, that doesn't mean I won't mess up. It doesn't mean I won't make mistakes. But if I can learn to just keep putting my hand in His hand and say, Lord, pick me up. Lead me on, gentle Savior. Lead me on, help me grow. Guess what? I too will be victorious. I too will be an overcomer. This situation and circumstance will not be the end of me. My walk in relationship with God will eventually lead me to the end of it. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. And until that moment, until that time, until God sees fit, whether by natural death or rapture or whatever means He sees fit, until that day comes, I'm still going to live for Him. I'm still going to find meaning in this life. Because God is victorious. We need to understand, no matter how talented we are, no matter what goods we may have at our disposal, no matter what resources may be readily available to us, catch this, without God, we will not make it. Without God, when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter what I've gained. What would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? The greatest life that can ever be lived is a life with God. You see, while life is wonderful and we should live it, and life sometimes is full of trouble and we endure it, we need to also understand that life is full of purpose. There's a reason why God has you where you are, in the place that you are. There's a reason. God has a purpose for your life. And God, He intends for each life to reflect the message of Jesus Christ in its own way, to reflect the redemptive relationship that we have through Jesus Christ. The purpose of life is, yes, to be a witness of the relationship, the redemptive relationship through Jesus Christ that we have as creation to our Creator. That is the purpose of life, to show the world how much He loves us, in that He gave His life for us to redeem us, that we could have a walk in relationship with Him. While not everyone is called to be an evangelist, not everybody's called to be a pastor, I believe that everyone is called. Everyone is called to fulfill God's purpose in their life. Everyone has a call of God upon their life. Each person has a call upon their life to do a work for the Lord, to represent the redemptive relationship that we have through Jesus Christ with our Creator. Everybody has a purpose. I realize that when we look at 7.6 billion people approximately upon the face of the earth, it's hard for us to wrap our brain around that. It's hard for us to wrap our brain around the fact that every single one of those individuals are unique and different in a natural sense. Every single one of them have differences in their DNA. And if that is the case in the natural, is it not also the case in the spiritual, where every single one of us have in our own unique way a special plan and a special purpose from God? In His love, He does not force us to seek that. In His love, He allows us to choose whether or not we want to have life in that more abundant. But whether we choose to have it does not negate the fact that He came to give it, that we might have life in that more abundant. So life can be lived without a walk in relationship with God, but it is not abundant. It's okay, well, I concede that life is wonderful, fearfully and wonderfully made. I certainly can concede that life has its share of troubles. And I've learned to endure, and I believe that every life has a purpose, Pastor. I believe that is right. That there is a reason for all of us. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7:7, "For I would that all men were as of myself, but every man has his proper gift of God." Every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Every single one of us have a gift from God. Again, that's hard for us to wrap our brain around. I got 3 kids and I have trouble keeping track of them. Who I gave what to and whose turn it is to sit in the front seat. He's got 7.6 billion. And every one of them has their own special gift. Every one of them. And I know we can't really wrap our brain around that reality, but it's nevertheless true. And there is something inside of us. There is something that God created in each and every one of us, that if we would respond to that, it would have us seeking. It would have us searching. It would have us wanting and desiring that walk in relationship with God. I'm closing. With Jesus Christ, you can stand. I believe this. True joy and happiness, true peace and understanding will never be acquired outside of a relationship with God. truly understanding one's purpose, why I'm here, only comes through our relationship with the Creator. Lord Jesus, help us, God. When the time comes that we do ponder, God, we muse, God, about our existence and why we are here. God, let us do so with the understanding that you created us. Life is a wonderful thing. The fact that we are here now, we have the ties and the connections, God. We have the influence and impact that we do. God, it's for a reason. That we would display a redemptive relationship with you. Creation to Creator, that we would know and reveal why we were created. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, your love, and your truth. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody said amen. They are going to play some soft music in the background. You're welcome to pray. If you want to come to the altar, pray where you are in your seat. If you need to take a break, use a restroom, whatever, we certainly allow for that. We will. It's about 10:46 right now, so the next 14 minutes, we'll do that. Then 11 o'clock, we'll reconvene here in the sanctuary. Sister Pat, Jim. Let's pray for her right now. Let's do that right now. Lord Jesus, how we come to you. Oh, you're able, God. You're able, God. Oh, work right now, God. Intervene in this situation, God. Oh, we believe every life is precious, God. Live in fulfillment, God, of your will and your way, God. Let it be for your glory and for your honor, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise your precious name. We glorify you, God. Your goodness and your mercy, your grace, your truth, God. God, right now, in your precious name, God, that angels bring healing in their wings, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness. Jesus, in your precious name. Jesus, in your precious name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I will ask you this as the... We would be respectful of praying. This happens out here in the sanctuary. If you need to talk or converse, please make your way in the back or downstairs. And let's make sure we're reverent here in the house of the Lord.